You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good morning, good afternoon, and I pray that you are having a good evening. How are you, everyone? Welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. It's Friday, and of course that means nothing to me because I'm retired, but to those of you who are working, and maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you are working 24/7, hopefully this will be a nice, easy-going Friday for you. Here we are on November the 17th. It's hard to believe that the weeks are just going by quickly. Let's start off our beautiful program here with a Hail Mary. Ready? Bow your heads. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Oh, precious listeners, I miss talking to you. I know that we were off the air on Tuesday, but we have come back, and we are so thankful that you've tuned in to Radio Maria on the Internet. And remember to do check out Radio Maria's website. You are always welcome to do that. And, of course, you know, we are a live prayer call-in line, and you can always phone us at 416-245-1534. And if you so choose to email, you can always email us at quilt, quilt, at radiomaria.ca. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now I have a word for you. For some reason today, I had an inkling of coming and talking with our ladies who are listening today, all kinds of women, young and old, and not so young. Should I say old? I shouldn't say that, should I? Because I'm old, so let's just say all our lovely women. Some women, they really know how to pray, and other women think they don't, because they're not down on their knees morning and night. But these women are up in the dark with sick children. They're visiting an elderly parent on their lunch hour. And they're supporting the dreams of those they love with their work. And sometimes they're helping a friend bear grief or rejoice. This too, my dear friends, is prayer. For whether we realize it or not, with every breath, with every heartbeat, women pray. We pray with longing, hunger, and thirst, and sighs, and remorse, and regret. We pray with disappointment, discouragement, and despair, and sometimes disbelief. We pray with anger and rage and jealousy and envy. And then we pray with pleasure and contentment and happiness and exaltation and joy. And we pray with gratefulness and appreciation and acceptance. and we pray with relief. We pray when we comfort and cheer and console, and we pray when we laugh, and we pray when we cry. We pray when we work, and we pray when we play. We pray when we create and admire creation. One way or another, we are always praying. Everyday life is the prayer. How we conduct it, how we celebrate it, how we consecrate it. It's just that some prayers are better than others. Conscious prayers are the best, right? And you won't be judged when you come to prayer to our Father and our Blessed Mother for intercession. You won't risk losing your love for them and them losing their love for you. Instead, by praying, you will increase your awareness. You won't have to phrase your words so carefully in case they might be misunderstood, because God already knows. You won't be misunderstood. And even if you don't even know what you want or you need, the Holy Spirit knows what you're about to ask and beg for and even praise. No good woman should be silent. You should always be praying. And so today, my precious listeners, today is the feast day of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. How poignant that we should be talking about women and ladies and prayer, and we've come to Saint Elizabeth. It's such a beautiful thing when we read and know more about our saints, because really, in the end, they were only human. They were human. They lost their tempers. They got hungry. They scolded God, and they made mistakes, and they regretted them. But they were ever so devoted to the Lord and to the Blessed Mother. Saint Elizabeth came from royal family, father a king and mother a queen. And even as a little girl, Elizabeth had such a caring heart for the poor. Many would comment to their parents, to her parents, about seeing her in prayer. Like, they just thought that was so unusual to see a child so young with such a devotion to the Blessed Mother and to the Holy Spirit. As soon as her life had begun, she had responsibilities put on her. And when she was 14 years old, she was given to marriage to Ludwig IV of Thuringia, a German nobleman. And I'm telling you these stories because not only is it good for us to know about our saints and even to commemorate them on their feast day today, November 17th, these are the saints that we can come to in our prayer. And if we so choose, we have many saints that we pray to and we have become devoted to. But it's nice to broaden our knowledge of our saints, because I personally, my friends, I don't know every saint. And although I may have heard a name and saint, but I always don't know very much about them. So I try to commemorate a time when we are speaking together, when we're sharing, to bring in a saint that you might be enlightened by and maybe encouraged and inspired and feel so needed that you want to go and pray to them for their intercession. Well, beautiful Saint Elizabeth, her mother Gertrude was actually murdered in 1213, and Elizabeth was only 6 years old at the time. And this was carried out by, this murder was carried out by a Hungarian nobleman. At the time, there was a conflict between the Germans and the Hungarian nobles. And for such a young little child to have witnessed such a tragic situation, Elizabeth's perspective on life and, of course, death dramatically changed. And she sought peace. She wanted peace, and she found it through prayer. And then when she was formally Mary to Ludwig, whom she really loved. They had three beautiful children. Two of them became members of nobility, and the third one entered a religious life, becoming an abbess of a German convent. And Elizabeth continued to live a life full of prayer and a service to the poor. And Ludwig, her husband, who was now one of the rulers of Thuringia, he supported all of Elizabeth's endeavors, religious endeavors, even though she was a part of the royal court. She tried her very best to lead a very simple life. She practiced penance, and she devoted all her work to charity. And she used her royal position to advance her mission for charity. And in 1223, the Franciscan friars arrived in Thuringia and taught 16-year-old Elizabeth all about Francis of Assisi's ideals. And that made such an impression on her that from that day on, she decided that is who she was going to have her life mirrored, that she was going to follow in Francis of Assisi's ideals. She began to wear simple clothing, and she set aside time every day to take bread to hundreds of poor people in her land. And Ludwig and Elizabeth were politically powerful, and they lived with a remarkable generosity toward the poor. But about 3 years later, in 1226, disease and floods struck Thuringia, and Elizabeth took to caring for the victims. It has been written that she gave away the royals' clothing and goods to the afflicted people. And Elizabeth, using her own dowry that she was given by her parents, she used that dowry and built a hospital and provided for almost 1,000 poor people on a daily basis. Imagine, she was feeding about 900 poor people every day at the palace, sending alms to the dwellings of those who were ashamed to beg. She visited the sick in their homes, and she served them. Even when they had leprosy, she kissed their hands and their feet, and she encouraged them to be patient. And never did a poor person leave her without receiving alms. And more than once, when she had no money with her, she gave away the veil from her head. She did not hesitate even to mend the clothes of the needy, and during a severe famine, gave all the corn that they had to the sufferers. And in one word, she did not neglect anything that Christian charity could do. So she was universally called the mother of the poor. Elizabeth's life, as you can see, my friend, was full of love and faith. But then tragedy struck there too. Ludwig passed away from an illness in 1227. And when this happened, like any widow who comes from a loving marriage, was so despondent, was so beyond words to say that she could heal from that. And she kept, that was the day she felt that her whole world had died. And so she vowed never to remarry and to live a life similar to a nun, despite pressure from the relatives. And so what happened was many of the people in the royal palace were very jealous and did not like the fact that Elizabeth was so kind and caregiving, that they accused her that she had bankrupted the royal palace because of all her generosity. And what they ended up doing, would you believe, they actually, her and her three children, ended up on the street. Yeah, ended up on the street. Everything that she had done, they just dismissed it, and she was then thrown out. And even the hospital where she herself had founded even closed their doors against her. And once she began to live in a stable and live on the bread she begged, In such unexpected and more than painful circumstances, Saint Elizabeth showed a true heroic and to the children of the world strength and patience. She complained to no one of the injustice of the nobility, not even to her royal father, who was still living, but rejoiced that she could suffer for the love of God. And after the first night of her banishment, she went to the church of the Franciscans and requested them to sing Te Deum, O great God, we praise thee, to give thanks to God for the sorrows which he had visited her. The wrongs and outrages which the Holy Princess suffered, besides her banishment, can hardly be described. An old woman who formerly received clothing and nourishment from St. Elizabeth dared to push her into a pool of stagnant water in the street, abusing her at the same time, most shamefully, for not having immediately made way for her. And this outrage aroused not in the least the wrath of the Holy Princess. She quietly raised herself out of the pool, cleaned her garments, and offered herself to the Almighty for more suffering. Well, when I read this, dear listeners, it was just beyond me, you know, how the self-sacrifice, the giving heart, the fact that she was answerable to God, and that's who was her master, who she felt was ruling her life. And she really felt that everything else was so, it didn't matter the abuse that she was receiving. She trusted God so much so that she could endure all these kinds of punishments. And God did not fail to comfort his handmaid. Christ appeared to her during her prayers and encouraged her and promised her never to abandon her. Can you imagine having the Lord in front of you, right in front of your face, and saying to you, Alice, Joanne, Frank, Marco, Jacob, you have nothing to fear. I'm right here. I will always be with you. Have courage. I give you strength. I love you. I will never leave you. Imagine. After some time, through her father's influence, they finally, a dwelling suitable to her rank was given to her, and her dowry was refunded. The saint immediately used one part of the building for a hospital. So no matter where she was living, part of that became a hospital. And she continued to nurse the sick as if she had been a servant hired to wait upon them. And all her spare time was employed in prayer and her other devout exercises. At the age of 24, she learned by revelation that her end was approaching, for which she was prepared by herself, most devoutly receiving the holy sacraments. She exhorted all those who were around her deathbed to love God with their whole heart and to assist the poor to the best of their ability. And after this, she continued in prayer until her soul, richly adorned with virtues and merits, went to her Creator in the year of 1231. When she lost her husband, she included in that vow of celibacy, and she became completely obedient to the Lord. It's such a testimony, and yet today there is documents that I have read about the many miracles that have occurred when Saint Elizabeth was alive, and it's the miracle of roses. It was said that during one of her many trips when she was delivering bread to the poor in secret, Ludwig met with her and asked her questions to erase everyone's suspicions that she was stealing from the castle. He asked her to reveal the contents under her cloak, and as she did, a vision of white and red roses was seen. And to Ludwig, this meant God's protection was evident. So what a testimony of God's faith. If we just believe and trust in him, Elizabeth's story is one of the many that associates Christian saints with roses. Of course, we know Saint Therese of Lisieux. Another living miracle involving Saint Elizabeth involved a leper lying in the bed that she shared with her husband. He was lying in the bed that she had shared. Her mother-in-law discovered Elizabeth had placed a leper in the bed and was so mad. She went to her son, and she was so annoyed with the situation. Ludwig removed the bedclothes, and instantly the Almighty God opened the eyes of his soul, and instead of a leper, he saw the figure of Christ crucified, stretched upon the bed. So even after her death, miraculous healings have begun to occur at her gravesite near her hospital. Examinations were held for those who had been healed, and along with testimony from Elizabeth's handmaidens and friends and the immense popularity surrounding her, provided enough reason for her canonization. And Pope Gregory IX canonized her on May 27, 1235. Saint Elizabeth's feast day is today, my friends, and she is the patron saint of bakers, beggars, brides, charities, deaths of children, homeless people, hospitals, sisters of mercy, and widows. Elizabeth's body was laid in a gold shrine in the Elizabeth Church in Marburg. Although the shrine can still be seen today, her body is no longer there. One of her own descendants scattered her remains at the time of Reformation. So Saint Elizabeth is often depicted with a basket of bread to show her devotion for the poor and the hungry. She is also painted in honor of the miracle of roses and the crucifix in the bed. The favorite walk of Saint Elizabeth when she was a child was to go to church, and where she manifested most angelic devotion, that was when she was the most happiest, that she could hardly be persuaded to leave. Think about your favorite walk, my friend. Where do you like to remain? And when do you go to church? Why are you in such a haste to leave? I often, when I sit in Mass, and I sit usually at the far back of the church where I can stretch my leg because I cannot bend my left leg because of my prosthesis inside my leg. So sitting in the pews, I cannot sit. So I always sit in a pew that has no bench in front of me so I can stretch out my leg. And many times when it's nice and quiet like that, especially at the 8 o'clock Mass, the choir, well, there is no choir, but people will sing. There is a cantor that will sing. And then they'll say, you know, that the Father will say, the Mass has ended. Go in peace while we serve the Lord. And we say, thanks be to God. And then the cantor will say, and now for our recessional hymn. And it's a beautiful hymn, ties into all the scripture, the reading that we've done for that hour. And the first thing you know, the organ starts to play and people just start packing up and leaving. And I can understand that, you know, we all have somewhere to go. It's not, maybe, you know, our lives are rushed. But it's not like the cantor sings all four stanzas of a hymn. They only sing one verse and maybe two. But how long, if you were to put that on a timer, I'm sure it's under a minute. And it just seems, I just sort of saddened, I feel a little sad inside thinking that, you know, Lord, we just had to offer you one more minute of praise. You know, we listen to Father give a beautiful homily, encourage us. He devotes his time for us. He prays before he comes to us to give of himself and to encourage us, to give us that word that we need to hear. And then we have the cantor singing and practicing, rehearsing before she comes up. and our readers who practice and rehearse before they come up, to so that the word becomes alive in our hearts so that we can take that with us. And we have one more minute maybe to give quiet time and reflect and sing praise to our God Almighty. And we cannot stay there for one extra minute. It seems kind of sad to me. And I say, you know, I know many times I'm in a rush, many times, because I've been often tutoring children. But I think to myself, I can, for goodness sakes, of all the time I give to everything else in this world, all to my children, my husband, myself, my family, to work, to whatever I do, and I cannot give up one more extra minute to God, then what am I saying? Well, Lord, you know, you've got 1 hour to make it very clear to me what you want me to do today. Okay, you know, Lord, I've got 1 hour here, so here's what I want. Here's what I'm expecting you to do for me today. And yet, we come with a list, a shopping list of requests, of prayers and hopes, and we cannot give of ourselves. Dear listeners, let's be more aware that 1 hour of a week that we go to church, and maybe you're one of those wonderful people that can get there every 8 o'clock Mass in the morning and devote some prayer full time. But when we're in a church and you are able to come, one more minute in the Mass won't make a difference if you are one more minute later in the parking lot driving your car out, then giving that minute to whoever who has given you the ability and the health to come to church in the first place so that you can carry out your duties. If you didn't have the Lord and you didn't have His strength, then why can we not come to Him and say, Lord, here is my time. I'm not going to think about anything else and focus on You. I will gaze on Your face and open my heart. And please, Lord, open my eyes so that I can sit here and that You realize I too am a servant and I am listening. We need to listen too. And so, dear listeners, it's very important that we, you know, we're aware of this precious time. And so let's bow our heads for our little prayer, very short, to our dear Saint Elizabeth. Dear Saint Elizabeth, you are always poor in spirit, most generous to the poor, faithful to your husband, and fully consecrated to your divine bridegroom. Grant your help to widows and keep them faithful to their heavenly Lord. Teach them how to cope with their loss and to make use of their time in the service of God. Amen. Dear listeners, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God knows you, loves you, will banish every fear and worry in you, but give Him some of your time too. It's easy to ask, but it's nice to give. And who do we give to but the Almighty God? So God bless you all, and I pray that you have a wonderful, restful weekend. No matter where you are, know that you're not alone and that we love you here at Radio Maria Canada. And have a blessed weekend. God bless you all. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. And though you left too soon, I wouldn't change a single